Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
Are you able to look beneath your behavior to what is true of you in Christ? I just had a new book come out called Identity Matters, Discovering Who You Are in Christ. I also have a seminar that I do this coming September on that theme. And I have found it to be one of the most important times that we spend together looking at the depth of all that is true of us because of the grace of God in our lives. Very, very important topic. There are times in my life because I stumble and my behavior is not matching what I believe it should as a child of God, that I begin to look more at my behavior than I do what is true of me deep beneath that behavior. Now, don't get me wrong here. We can't ignore our behavior. We want to make sure that we are following the Lord and living after the kinds of responses and virtues and values of the kingdom that, well, are expected of His children. But it's really important that we spend some time looking beneath the behavior to the facts that are true of us, all by the grace of God. And what I'm about to share with you that comes out of 1 Corinthians is ours through faith because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. It's not true of us because we've earned it. It isn't true of us because we've performed. It's true of us because expressing faith in Christ has brought an overflow of internal transformation and also lavish gifts that have been given to us because we are God's children. Now, of course, because that is true, it should translate into worshipful behavior that matches the kingdom of God. But it's important for us to understand what's true of us in Christ. So I'm sure that you're well familiar of 1 Corinthians and the fact that Paul was addressing some very specific problems that he saw in the Corinthian church. There was division among them. There were some sexual sins that needed to be addressed. They had some spiritual practices that were not healthy and good. Some rather serious issues that Paul was dealing with, including spiritual pride. But what grabs me about 1 Corinthians is the way that Paul starts off his letter. Now remember, he is going to challenge some of their behavior and some of their attitudes that he finds as not consistent with the kingdom of God. But before he goes there, he starts out saying some things that are true of them because they are in Christ. Now, it's in the second verse that Paul begins by saying to them that they've been called to be God's set-apart people, a special people, and that the Corinthian church is connected to Christians all over the world, and that it's important that they recognize that. Paul writes that they are called to be His holy people together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Paul is saying about you is that you are a separate person, separated from the world, the values of the world, the ways of the world, and you're connected to every child of God, no matter where they are on this planet, but also, I would argue, not only where they are on this planet, but even with those that have gone before. We're connected to them. We're part of a set-apart people. And that happened because of the grace of Christ. Paul then goes on and says, grace and peace be yours because of Jesus. Very, very good. Now remember, he's going to very soon challenge them on some very bad behavior, behavior that doesn't match who they are. But before he gets there, he says some things that are very important for them to know and important for us to know. He begins by saying, I always give thanks to God for you, because of the grace that God gave you in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a good word? That even when these Christians were stumbling in, walking out who they were in Christ, that Paul says, I want to thank God for you because of the grace that was poured out upon you in Christ Jesus. When you, my friend, accepted Christ, there was a grace that was poured out upon you and an anointing of the Lord on your life that goes beyond explanation. And it came not because of anything you did except say yes to the invitation of Christ. And then you became God's child. His Holy Spirit dwells within you. You have great and precious promises that are yours now, and those will not spoil or fade in the kingdom yet to come, all because of Jesus. Is any wonder why we get crazy about Jesus? We're just nuts about Jesus. When you hear the gospel of Christ, it's breathtaking. It sounds too good to be true, and that's what makes it especially true. That's why we call it the scandal of gospel. Now, let's imagine that maybe today wasn't one of your best days in terms of living out of who you are in Christ. Maybe there are some behaviors that you engaged in that you already know, I shouldn't have gone that direction. That's not what a person that follows Christ would do. That's not what a person that follows Christ would think. So let's just assume that possibly something like that happened. Before God wants to speak that to your heart and bring you back into a line, it seems that Paul would say there are some things you need to know. You need to know you're connected to His people all over the world and even those in heaven. You need to know that God's grace and peace are yours in abundance because of faith in Christ. You need to know that we're already thankful for you because of what God did in you with grace. Now, listen to these things, and I hope they're an encouragement to your heart. He says this, "In Christ you have been enriched in every way." Enriched. You have become rich in every way. Now, that's you. You may not feel it today. You haven't learned how to open the treasure box, but it's true of you because you're God's child. Now, this is very similar to what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 when he says, you have all that you need for life and godliness. Everything that it would take to live out the Christian life is already inside of you. It's kind of like you have amazing gifts that haven't even been opened yet, but you have been enriched in every way. Now, Paul goes on to give some specific ways in which God's people have been enriched. One of the things he says is you've been enriched with all kinds of speech. I think what Paul was dealing with there is the fact that Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be with us and He would give us the words to say when the opportunity for ministry comes up. Have you ever had that happen? I've had it happen so many times, often when I'm teaching. And even sometimes people ask a question and all of a sudden I'm well aware of what the answer is. It's as though the Lord has given me the words to say. There's a deep conviction in my heart that those are the words. Somehow in sharing those words, people's hearts are affirmed or encouraged or they have a deeper level of understanding. Wow. That's a gift of Christ, and it's yours, something that Paul would want you to lean into. I remember later on in 1 Corinthians, in the second chapter, he talks about the fact that he didn't come with them with eloquence of speech, but he comes to them with a demonstration of God's power. And part of the demonstrations of God's power is not only signs and wonders and miracles, but the fact that our speech has been enriched. It's changed the way we talk. It's changed our message. He then goes on to say that not only have you been enriched with all kinds of speech, but also with all kinds of knowledge. Wow. Let's see. Wasn't it the straw man that kept wishing he had a brain? And all of a sudden, in the story of the Wizard of Oz, he recognizes that he already had a brain. He just never knew how to access it or use it. It wasn't something that suddenly someone gave him, but it came to him that he needed to access what was already his. Well, do you know that the Bible tells us here that you've been enriched in your knowledge? I have come to believe that because the Holy Spirit is inside of us, we don't know everything we know. That's right. We don't know everything we know. Because the Holy Spirit is within us to give us knowledge, to give us understanding, to give us insight. You know, I think it's somewhat humorous, but there's, again, been times when I'm teaching, and all of a sudden I realize I'm teaching a concept that really I'm not sure I had ever studied or learned, but somehow I knew it. Yeah, it builds on what I've studied. It builds on everything that happened in the past, but it's something that God gave me. Now, It doesn't happen when you're sitting down to take a test that you haven't studied for, but it will happen when you decide to step out in ministry and share the gospel of Christ, or someone comes to you for some advice, and if you're prayerful and you lean into the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you'll become aware that you have a knowledge that goes beyond the knowledge that you perceive you have. Now, Paul goes on and says this: not only do you have all these wonderful gifts of being connected to people all over the world across time, and grace poured out in you, and that you've been enriched in every way with speech and knowledge, he also says that you don't lack any spiritual gift. Now, what would be another way to say that? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Romans 12, in Ephesians 4, and also a little bit in 1 Peter 5, there are a list of spiritual gifts. Special channels of the Holy Spirit given to God's people in order to advance the kingdom. And one of the things that Paul says in 1 Corinthians is that all of God's children receive these spiritual gifts. That means you have spiritual gifts, whether you know it or not. Hopefully you'd be willing to discover them, to learn how to develop them, to use them. I spoke about this many podcasts ago when we talked about some of the things the Holy Spirit does inside of us. Well, certainly one of them is spiritual giftedness. Now, Paul says you don't lack any spiritual gift. What he means by that is you don't lack any spiritual gift needed to fulfill the call that God would have on your life. God has a call in all of his children's lives. We're still here for a purpose. We're here to advance the kingdom, to be salt, to be light. And it's exciting for me to think about you, that you don't lack a part to play, that you have spiritual gifts. Paul goes on to say something that I think is so encouraging to us, especially when we need at times to be reminded that our behavior should line up with who we are in Christ. Paul says this: Christ is going to keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on that day. Wow, that's amazing. There are days when I'm off on a walk and I begin to revisit yet again the mistakes that I've made, the times when my behavior didn't line up with what I should be living. And then what the scripture says is, Terry, have hope. God's going to keep you firm to the end. He's got a good grasp on you. And that on that day when we stand before him, because of Christ, we will be found blameless. And then the scripture says in verse 9, God is faithful. He's called you into fellowship with his son. That's you. God is faithful to hold on to you, to make sure you cross that finish line, to give you fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, I want to go back to the very beginning and remind you that Paul is saying all of this in a letter in which he is really going to talk rather sternly about some attitudes that do not align with the kingdom, some behavior that doesn't align with the kingdom. And Paul wants them to turn, to come back home, to experience teshuvah, the returning to who they are in Christ. And he really pulls no punches because he wants them to understand that because we are God's children, there are great changes in our behavior that need to take place. But this is what grabs me. This is what amazes me. That Paul begins with who you are rather than what you're doing. He'll get to what you're doing. But if we remember who we are, then there's a place for us to go home to once we realize we've kind of strayed in our behavior and our attitudes and our thoughts. And all we have to do is to come home. We don't have to try to earn a right again and to reestablish standing with God. That's ours. That's what Jesus has given us because we belong to him. Now, later on in chapter 1, Paul talks about the fact that all of this has come to us by gifts of God's grace, so we shouldn't be haughty about it and filled with pride and start to think more of ourselves than we should. But he goes on to say these verses: God chose foolish things to shame the wise. He chose weak things to shame the strong. He chose lowly things and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And then he goes on to say, our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. It's ours because of Jesus Christ. I think that's an amazing passage. Righteousness, holiness, redemption, ours in Christ, yours in Christ. So I don't know what you're doing today. I don't know whether or not you need to return home, experience teshuva. But here's some things I do know. Because of expressing faith in Christ, the grace of God has been poured out lavishly in your life. You have treasures inside of you because you have been enriched in every way. Your speech is enriched. Your understanding is enriched. You're connected with people here and in the world yet to come. You don't lack a single spiritual gift. God's promised to hold you faithful to the end. And he's going to keep you blameless. It also says that he's going to give you fellowship with Jesus. And even though there was a time where we were the weak and the despised and the foolish, we now are those that have been made righteous, holy, and redeemed by faith in Christ. And this is what Paul keeps emphasizing over and over again. By faith in Christ, these things have become ours. I think that's such a reason for us to get on our face and say, Lord, may we turn to you in new praise. And may the Holy Spirit realign our lives so that we can live according to who we really are in Jesus Christ. I have the opportunity many times to sit before people that are broken. Many of them have deep emotional wounding that has impacted their lives in very debilitating ways. And yet, one of the things that I know of them that they probably don't know themselves that is that if they've come to Christ, they are a rich, rich person. That's why it's important that we understand identity. Identity does matter, and we need to understand the identity matters. Discovering who we are in Jesus Christ, who you are. Right now, I want you to know you're a wonder to behold because of what Christ has given you. Now, when Paul ends chapter 1, he says this, "Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." We're not going to boast in the fact that we are enriched in every way or that grace is poured out on us. We're not going to boast because we're connected to all Christians around the world set apart for God. We don't want to boast in our spiritual gifts or the fact that we're going to be held blameless till the end or that God is faithful to give us fellowship with Jesus. No, we're not boasting in that. We're boasting in Christ because this is what Christ has done for us. This is what Christ has given us. And it transforms our lives. You see, I think if we knew this, we'd be more likely to turn back home. Because it's just a fact. We live in a world that does not share the values of the kingdom. We have an enemy that's constantly trying to lure us away from the ways of the kingdom. And there are times when, in fact, we play into that and we are not faithful to live out of who we are in Christ. But the beginning place is not staring at your mistakes or your bad attitude or the fact that your thought life isn't where you want it to be. Don't stare there, but go back to what is true of you in Christ. And then begin to think about how wonderful that grace is. Declare it in your own heart that Christ has loved you so much that he has been lavish with you. It's a privilege for me to speak to you knowing who you are, connected to people in heaven, connected to every Christian around this world, speaking to someone that's, well, so special, so enriched, so blessed. It's important to me that you know that, and that you know that that has come to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think today, if there's some things in your life that you really need to bring back in line, why don't you start with giving praise to God? Turn to the Psalms. Give praise to him the way the psalmists do. Praise the Lord for all the wonderful gifts. Open your Bible up. Turn to the first chapter, the first nine verses of 1 Corinthians, and underline the things that are true of you. Put your finger on those and begin to say thank you to God. Start there. And then you'll find that the Holy Spirit wells up with inside of you, and you'll be able then to come on home, to recognize that where you may have been acting out, you don't want to live any longer. I know it helps me. I hope it helps you. May God bless you. A reminder, if you'd like to receive my new book, Identity Matters, you can contact Lynn at healingcare.org, and we'll make arrangements to send it to you. You'll give us a payment, and we'll send it off. You're special. God has made you that way. It's His gift to you. God bless you.